In Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. For a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about the vision that we have here. What are we looking for the future? Now, when we look at vision from the text, that usually means revelation, as it does in this verse in Proverbs 29. Where there is no vision, where there is no revelation, the people perish. However, the word vision can also mean something that we imagine, a picture that we see in our mind, the act or power of imagination, seeing something, conceiving something. Where there is no vision in this sense, the people also perish. So I would like for us to consider, what is the vision for the Lord's church here in New Lebanon? And notice I said the Lord's church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's the Lord's church. The Lord's church that began in Jerusalem. The Lord has certain expectations for his church. And we need to be aware of those and see how we are working to bring those about. Looking to the future, what are we building? I plan my sermons at least a week in advance. I think of the title and what I want to preach on. Then I work on stuff through the week. Sometimes I've got a list of running sermons I want to preach. I had this in mind. And then one of the nights this past week, we were invited to a dinner party. And there were people from four different congregations there, different congregations. And I always like to ask the men, so what do you think the future landscape is going to look like for the church in the Dayton area? There was a lot of change. You think back 10, 15 years ago, what was it like? Who was around? Who's going to be here in 10 years? Are the churches going to stand for truth? Are they going to move away from the truth? What is it going to be like? What is it going to look like? What are we building for the future? One of the first things we need to consider is to have a vision to have this house here perpetually. In 1 Kings 9:3, the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Friends, the Lord's church is eternal. The work is eternal. We need to be long-term thinkers. Not, well, I'm going to just think the next few years and then I'm going to retire and move to Florida. We shouldn't think like that. We need, and I'm not saying that's what I'm doing. We need to think of the church long time. We need to be thinking of the church for the next generation and the next generation. We have to have a vision. We have to have a vision for the Lord's church. Now, I am guessing, oh, I'll say it differently. Some men did not start this church here in New Lebanon. Let me explain that. Some men did not start this church here in New Lebanon. Some men had a vision to bring the Lord's church to the New Lebanon area. We need to have the vision to take the vision that they had and expound on it, expand it, and do as much as we can in this community. We need to have this house here perpetually, that it was brought here, it's going to stay here, it's going to save souls from here, and not just here, but beyond here, from reaching out to others. Well, we need to have a vision to save people to ensure that the next generation continues in the Lord. Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. So again, remember Paul writing to the church at Rome. He said he was a debtor to preach the gospel. He was ready to preach the gospel. He was not ashamed to preach the gospel in chapter 1. And now in Romans 10, he says, it's my heart's desire and prayer to God that they may be saved. And you drop on down in chapter 10, and the sad thing is, he says, but they are not all saved. They are not all saved. We have a lot of work to do here in this area. We need to have a vision for every one of us here to save someone. Can you see yourself doing that? If not, why not? What we need to understand what is preventing us from doing what we ought to be doing. When we were talking in class this morning about every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account for the things that we have done, how are we going to answer him? Because I imagine that's one of the questions he's going to ask us. So what did you do to help bring lost souls to my church? What did you do to help save people? Are we going to say, well, I was too busy. I thought about doing it. But you know, Joe over there, he's really good at doing it, so I was just going to let him do it. Friends, all of us need to have a vision to save people to ensure the next generation that comes along. We need to have a vision for this house to be a house of prayer. Isaiah 56, 7. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Friends, are we known as a house of prayer? I would say we are. And again, this Wednesday, this first Wednesday of the month, is our prayer service. And it is so good and edifying. It brings us closer together for each of the men to pray for the needs of everyone here. We need to be a house of prayer. Matthew 21, 13, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. We need to be a praying people. Prayer is one of the greatest tools and weapons that we have that God has given us. You think about it. Two of the greatest tools and weapon is his word and prayer. And what are we doing with both of those? Are we using them? Do we know how to use them? Do we use them to fight off Satan and to help save the lost? Well, we also need to have a vision to spend more time together with one another. In Acts chapter 2, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Here we have where the early disciples were together with one accord. They broke bread from house to house. This was all the time they were together. They were together. They spent time together. This is an example that is left for us. Is an example binding or is it just a command? No, examples are just as binding as commands are. We don't pick and choose which ones we obey and expect God to be pleased with that. I think we do a good job of getting together as we can, when we can. But these are things that we've got to keep in mind for the church to grow. I'm not going to know what to pray for you. You aren't going to know what to pray for me. I'm not going to know what struggles you're going through. You aren't going to know what struggles I'm going through unless we spend time together. We need to spend more time than, hi, how you doing, goodbye, see you next service. They came together. And it's interesting, whenever I read this verse in verse 46, I'm reminded of a woman that I used to work with, and one day several of us were talking religion, and she's a Jehovah's Witness, and somebody said, so why do you people go around and knock on everybody's door? And she said, well, it says in the Bible they went from house to house, and they were taking that as authority to go from house to house to teach people. I don't agree with their doctrine, but they were taking their message to people. How often do we, and again, as we can, get together just to spend time with one another? I've got this slide on the bottom of this house that's been on all of these, and when we think about building something for the future, this is the first thing that came to my mind, is a house. You know, you have a builder. That builder has something in mind. He's an architect. He has blueprints. That's a pattern. And the Hebrew writer told Moses, see that you make all things according to the pattern, talking about the tabernacle. There is a pattern for him to follow to make that. There is a pattern for the Lord's church. There is a pattern for the way we worship. There is a pattern for the way we work. There is a pattern. There is a something. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to wonder, well, what about this or what about that? We just need to open our Bibles and see what God says and start doing it. It's not hard, but people are looking for something that's a little more flashy, a little more showy, a little more entertaining. We just need to get busy doing what God says to do. So they had a vision to spend more time with each other. And in Acts 2:47, we see that they had a vision for this church to grow, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. We want the church to grow because that means we're reaching people, we're saving people. Is God going to judge us on how many people are here? No, he's going to judge us on how we are doing our job sowing the seed. Again, we might be the faithful few, we might be the remnant in this area here that are holding on to God's word. But if we don't hold on to it, if we don't proclaim God's word and do what he says, what's the future going to be like? What's the future going to be like for children, for grandchildren, for those that move to this area that's looking for a sound congregation? We need to not worry about the results so much as, and I shouldn't say worry, but we just need to be focused. We need to be focused on doing what God has said to do, and he will bless us in our efforts. Praising God and having favor with all men, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. If we grow individually, if we grow in our love to God, if we grow in our love to his word, we sing, oh, how I love Jesus, but we don't have time to come to Bible study. Oh, I love the Bible, but we don't open it. If we grow in our love to his word, if we grow in our love for brothers and sisters, if we grow in our love for the lost, we are going to grow collectively, and we are going to grow numerically. We need to have a vision to be here at every service. And if not, we need to let people know why. Some people, I've been at some places, people will take off, they'll be gone for weeks, and nobody knows where they are. Do you know where brother so-and-so is? No, he was talking about vacation or this or that. And it's like they disappear. And when they are gone, the church can't grow because they do not feel like they are a part of the church. And if you aren't here, how are you going to worship God? Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said in chapter 11, verse 18, when you come together as the church. 11:20, when you meet together. 14:23, the whole church assembling. 14:26, when you assemble. James 2:2, if a man comes into your assembly. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assembling together. So this shoots a hole in the idea of a virtual church, which so many people are going to today. Just stay home. Oh, we'll do what we want to do, and we'll just watch church on our phone. Well, where do you come up with that in the Bible? Again, that word church in the Greek, according to Thayer, who was a Greek scholar, that word church, ekklesia, means called out from some place, their home, to some public place. They were coming out from their homes to some public place to worship God. And as Christians, friends, we should want to be here. We should want to be at every service. If we aren't, are we putting the world ahead of the kingdom? We're to seek the kingdom first. If I'm not here, then I'm not encouraging my brothers and sisters. If I am not here, then I am discouraging my brothers and sisters because they expect me to be here. And the same with you. The road goes both ways. If you aren't here, you aren't supporting the work and the worship of the hour. If you aren't here, you aren't promoting the work and worship, not of my church, not of your church, but of the Lord's church. The Lord's church that he left heaven, he came to the earth, he died on the cross, he shed his blood to purchase the church. That's us, the called out body. It cost him his life. And I say, I'm too busy, or I want to do this, I love to do that. Oh, there's a show in town. You know who's playing at the stadium tonight? Friends, I laugh, but I shouldn't. That's the excuses we hear. It just shows where someone's heart is. Friends, he purchased the church with his blood. Well, we come together to proclaim his death, as we did earlier this morning. But what's your vision for the church? What's your vision? Can you see the vision for the church when you're sitting at home Sunday evening or Wednesday evening watching TV? Can you see the vision for the church then? Can you see the vision for the church when you're out running around and not in the assembly? Where there's no vision, the people perish. Well, we need to have a vision for our visitors. We need to get the visitor's address so we can write them a thank you card for coming. And it goes without saying, we all need to say hello to them. We all need to welcome them. All of us do. But we need to get the visitor's address so we can write them a thank you card for coming. We have those visitor packets. There are cards in there that they can fill out. When we were discussing what information to include on those visitor cards, and I said, in my opinion, I would leave off a phone number, because sometimes people, you ask for too much information and they think you're going to be bugging them all the time. I said, what I do lots of times when we have a visitor, I'll give them a card and I'll write my number on it. And I'll say, here's my number. if you have any questions, give me a call. And would you like to give me your number? And if they say yes, they do. If they say no, they don't. But they have a way of contacting us, and they know that we are interested without being pushy. If possible, we need to invite them out to eat. Is there anybody here, a member, that is a member here without visiting? You know, we all came here first. And there was something that was said, something that was done, that made us want to be a member here. And when visitors come here, we need to keep in mind, what are we saying to them that will make them want to come back and to be a part of this group? What visitors see and hear determines if they come back again. The next part of this lesson, I just have some verses I want us to consider as we're thinking about the future, that give us hope, that give us courage, that encourage us to do the Lord's work. And what better place to start than with our study back in Jeremiah? Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and our hope. God has a plan for us, not a plan that is scary and dreadful, but thoughts of peace to give us a future and a hope. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Whatever we face, God is going to give us an answer to help us on our journey. We may start something and I don't know how I'm going to do this. Friends, we pray to God, we talk to others, we open God's word. He's going to instruct us. He is going to guide us. He wants us to be successful. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Do we commit our work to the Lord? That's something we can start today. We can start Wednesday night at the prayer service where we talk about it in different ways, but we need to realize that we are committing the work that we are doing here. We are all committed to the work. We need to commit the work to the Lord so that He will bless us. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God is going to help guide us through this life, through our work. Give us that peaceful mind. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We might think of doing something and it doesn't come to pass. We might think, well, let's try this, and this one thing that we think is a long shot is what God is going to bless us with. And that's why we try so many things. We try so many things all the time. We have the website. We have the Bible reading plan. We have the radio station. We have the YouTube. We have different avenues for people to reach us. We put all of these things out and we commit our work to the Lord and He will bless us. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We need to think of building the Lord's house, building the church, the spiritual church. We need to think of building that first, and all these physical things of this life He will take care of. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God, again, wants to bless us. It's the Father's good pleasure. What does What does God pleasure in? If somebody asked you that question, what would your answer be? It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What's God going to withhold from us? Nothing that we need. He might withhold some things that are bad for us. He's not going to withhold anything from us that is good for us that we need. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. He created us for what we are doing, to worship and work in his kingdom. That's what we were created for. It's just like you think about a lawnmower that is made. A lawnmower that is made, it's created, most amazing machine there is. Somebody takes it and sticks it in their garage. They never get it out. You look at them and you say, that person is silly. Don't they know what that machine was created for? Friends, don't we know what we were created for, what this church was created for? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's our habit, our way of life, walking in good works. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what is your vision for the Lord's church? What is your vision for its perpetuity, for its work, for its growth? Do you have a vision? If you don't have a vision, why don't you? And back to our little dinner meeting the other night, one of the questions somebody asked me when we were talking about congregations around, and somebody said, how many people go there? And I said, you know, whenever somebody asks me that question, I find that interesting. Why do you want to know how many people go there? Oh, I just want to know how many people go there. And I said, whenever you ask a question like that, then you base everything on a number instead of everything else that's going on. And the person asked again. And then later in the conversation, somebody else asked, how many people go there? And then later she asked again, and she said, you aren't telling, are you? And I said, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What do we want to be known for? What do we want to be known for here in Dayton? Let us be known for our stand for the truth. Let us be known for our good works. Let us be known for our love for one another. Let us be known as a shining light in the greater Dayton. And let us give all honor and glory to God. Friends, when I ask that question, what's the landscape of the churches in Dayton going to look like in 10 years? There's been discussion of some merging. One of the preachers that visits us regularly is moving out of the area. Someone new is coming in there. There are different things. You see some of them going more liberal, going away. They don't care about standing for truth. You know what they want? They want numbers. They want numbers. Friends, there's nothing wrong with numbers if it's faithful Christians. Let us not be known for our numbers, but for our stand for the truth. I will call sin, sin, and I try to do it in a loving way, but there are sermons that I have preached here that other places around here would not have preached because they don't want to upset anybody. Those people may go to hell because they haven't heard the truth, but they don't want to upset them or have them go somewhere else. But we want to speak the truth in love. We want to be known for our good works, for our love for one another. I don't think we can find a congregation in this area where the members love each other more than right here in New Lebanon. We want to be a shining light now, tomorrow, as long as the earth stands. Looking to the future, what is your vision? What is your vision? Without a vision, people perish. Friends, whatever your vision is, let's get together to accomplish it. Let's pray for one another. Let's be busy in the vineyard. Give God all the honor and glory that he deserves. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that is struggling with sin, you need prayers, you need to make confession, you need to respond to the gospel invitation to obey the gospel, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.